Hello and welcome to the Audrey McGuckin Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to providing helpful insights from some of the industry's best and most respected leaders in the human capital space. I'm your host, Erica Ritchie, the Chief Client Officer at Audrey McGuckin Talent Solution. And as always, I'm joined by our CEO, Audrey McGuckin. Today's guest is Brian McCormick, Head of Inclusion and Diversity for Tapestry. Brian, we're so glad to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
It's going to be a fun conversation. But before we get started, Audrey, we would love to hear how you met Brian.
You know, as I started, as we started the firm, really one of the things that I love to do is meet new people. I'm hugely curious about perspective, and I'm hugely curious about new things. And I'm hugely curious about how people and organizations have impact. And so that means that I'm always searching for new people, interesting people. And Rennie, our chief learning officer, had said to me, you know, I really think you've got to meet Brian. He is an amazing leader. He has a great story, and his perspective is just a little bit different, and I think you would love to meet him. And so Rennie introduced us, and I must say Brian and I hit it off immediately. We had some great conversations, and Brian's now actually going to speak for us at the conference board in New York City in November. And so just that one conversation led to many great things. And so I'm just wildly excited that he's on the podcast today, and that he gets to share his story, and that we get to have some conversations, and that our readers and our listeners and our followers, they get to be part of that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that is such a great story. And I will say Rennie has had wonderful things to say about you, Brian. So you got big shoes to fill today. You feel up to it?
I feel like this intro is not putting no pressure on it whatsoever.
Perfect. So we just expect brilliance and perfection, and we'll go from there. So,
fantastic. I'll do my best.
All right, Brian. Well, we, as a firm, we love to share stories, and we really like to keep our content super conversational. So we'd love to hear your story and how you found yourself in the world of inclusion and diversity.
Sure. Well, again, thank you for having me. And before I jump into my story, I realized it might be just helpful for some of the listeners to know what Tapestry is, because it's a brand and a company that it's newer, and so people may not be fully familiar. It is the home of Coach Kate Spade and Stuart Weitzman. I can give some discounts to my close friends and colleagues, but not everyone. So I'm sorry, listeners. But usually I get some excitement in the room when I share those brands, because they're really phenomenal brands, and I'm really honored to work with such an amazing company. So my story, I have spent. Well, actually, I'll share just an interesting tidbit, which you won't find probably online anymore. My first career was in movie theater management, and I used to run big movie theaters. I opened Megaplexes. I opened AMC's flagship theater at Walt Disney World. So I had this sort of former career before moving into HR 20 years ago. I started when I'm six, I think is what I'm supposed to say, right?
Perfect. Me too.
Exactly. Exactly. And, I've had a great journey, and so I'm appreciative of the opportunities I've had to work at different companies and different sizes of organizations and different parts of our country, and, you know, to engage with colleagues around the world. And I think, you know, that experience combined with my experience growing up as a military brat, moving around, I spent most of my youth in Berlin, Germany. I've had this opportunity to really meet lots of different people. And similar to Audrey, I think I'm very curious. My friends actually like to give me a hard time. They're like, Brian, what are you going to learn about next? Because I've done so many random things, just to learn about the world around us. So I just have this passion about people and learning. And I think, you know, with my experience as a gay man, I have this affinity for, you know, for helping others, and also understand what it feels like to be another. So that, I think, the collection of experiences have led me to be to have this passion for inclusion and diversity. And so grateful to the Tapestry leadership who gave me the opportunity to see what that might look like. And so I'm the first head of inclusion and diversity for Tapestry, and have had a great couple of years of really bringing that work to life here. But I also think I would say I sort of found myself on that journey as well. Having the responsibility as well as the honor and opportunity to tell my story and to use my story to help others has been just profound. And I'm super grateful. So hopefully that helps just to get a little bit about me and leaves enough sort of questions out there in the world.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I love just a couple of things, the juxtaposition of your story around, you know, being a military brat, and then on the other hand, really having this theatrical start to your career. I think it's fascinating. And, you know, the other thing that I find is fascinating is when leaders can reflect on why they might be different and how that difference can really bring perspective. I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago in New York City, and we had an amazing facilitator. And, you know, one of the questions she asked was, who in the room wasn't born in the US? So who in the room is an immigrant? And there were maybe about 12 of us that were immigrants. And I had never really thought about myself as an immigrant before, but her point was, you have a unique perspective because you've seen the world from two different angles. And I think, you know, you really being a gay man and experiencing that and the difference that that brings and the perspective. And I think really just really leaning into our unique differences can bring just such amazing perspective to conversations. And it's the conversations that often lead to impact.
Well, I would agree so much. And, you know, nodding back to your kind introduction, Audrey, one of the things, and I may not have the words exactly right, but that you mentioned that Rennie shared, is that I have a slightly different perspective. And actually, that's something I've really valued, which probably comes from a collection of experiences in my life. And, but I don't want to be a traditional HR person. Nothing wrong with traditional HR people out there. I think, HR is a great profession. We endeavor to add value to companies and to make a difference in the human experience. And I think that's wonderful. What I like to believe is I take that to the next level, and combine my understanding of how business works, with my value of the to your point, Audrey, the differences that, we each bring to the table, and how bringing those differences together can add huge value to a company, to the experience of the employees who work at that company. One of my core beliefs, is, and this was, there was a book I read in college, called The Customer Comes Second by Hal Rosenbluth. And they actually updated it just a handful of years ago for sort of current day life. And the core concept of that book is, if you do the right things to create a great experience for your employees, they're going to do the right things to create a successful company. And that has been a driving force behind how I think about leading and managing and being an HR professional. And now, as an inclusion and diversity professional, just really, it sort of continues to expand on, how do you find that intersection point, and how do you make the best environment for people at work? And finding belonging is so important.
There was a couple of things just struck me when you were talking there, Brian, and it's this notion of, we have a model that we use in our organization and the firm, which is, the starting point is, people deserve to feel connected. And if people deserve to feel connected, it's connected to what? And it's often about being connected to their leaders. But the only way you can connect with leaders is if they are vulnerable. And so, you know, by leaders being vulnerable, it helps with that connection. And we think that vulnerability takes a level of courageousness. And, you know, it's the courageousness that really builds that connection. So we, Erica, we should probably have Rennie, write a blog on that, because we use it in a lot of our work. And Brian, one of the things that we do, and we're doing a little bit of it on this podcast, is we actually have leaders spend some time thinking about what shaped them. And we have them really reflect on, what was a moment in time, you know, that was really pivotal or really critical for them. And often that can create emotion. And then when they tell that story, that creates that vulnerability. And that's when people can connect. And so it really just struck me that we were doing a little bit of that here, where we were telling stories and, you know, being vulnerable because we believe it's the right thing to do. And the big overarching theme that we tend to put on this kind of work is to be human-centered. It's to have that humanistic approach, which is, you know, a blend of science and data and the human-centered piece around who are people and what's motivating to them and what's their story and where did they come from. And so it really was just striking me when you were talking, Brian, and, you know, all of our work came flooding to the fore.
One of the stories that I can share is when I first stepped into this work a couple of years ago to lead inclusion and diversity at Tapestry, you know, I used to list out some of the reasons I was an other. I'm a gay man, as I mentioned. I have experienced and battled mental illness and have gone on that journey in my life. And that's an ongoing journey, right? And being gay, you come out every day. I've come out on this podcast now. You know, that's part of my journey and finding comfort with that. What I also found, though, was while people that were hearing me share those aspects of myself, that is, there's one aspect of acknowledgement and connection, but that's more of a list, right? So now the story I tell, which going back to your question of how did I get into this work, in my first professional HR job, which I was at Red Lobster. Many of you may have enjoyed Red Lobster, and really great place to work. Before I joined that company, I was an out gay man. Pretty much everyone in my life knew I was gay. But when I started there, I went back in the closet because I didn't believe I could be out and be successful. And, you know, it was, it's tough to try to pretend that you're someone you're not. And fortunately, in my very first role, which was actually as an intern, I had a mentor on that team who helped me know that it was okay to be me and I could be out and be successful. He himself was out at work, and he also helped me see other senior leaders in the company who also had chosen to be out and were very successful. So I had that opportunity very early on to know and to learn that I can, like, the two aren't mutually exclusive concepts. And so when I do the work today, you know, that is really what I go back to is, I remember that moment and what that felt like. And I want everyone to have that same feeling that they can be their true selves and also be successful. And actually, I believe that we as a company will be better for it. Because if you bring your whole self to work, then you can bring all of your ideas and perspectives and the things that have shaped your story and your perspective on the world to the conversations. And that will just help us, whatever we're solving, it will be better for it.
Yeah, I love that. This notion of authenticity, right? And everybody has their own story around authenticity, but it's having the courage to tell your story regardless of what it is, because it's that authenticity that your people connect to, and our people deserve to feel connected. And, you know, this other piece around work and life are no longer in separate silos. The world we live in today, there's just lots of crossover, and I think the organizations that can navigate those experiences are the ones that I've certainly seen be the most successful.
And I think that's a really good jumping off point to really the question we wanted to dive into today, which was looking at intersection points. A lot of the work that we do is looking at helping leaders to find those intersection points. So we really want to dive into the intersection of inclusion and diversity and leadership. How are they connected? How do they intersect? How can we grow in those areas as leaders? So let's dive into that a little bit.
That's a lot of where we started some of our conversations, Brian, when we were talking about the succession management conference. And you said, I don't work in the world of succession management. And I said, I know, and that's okay. Because really, you know, when we look at this bigger picture of leadership and succession management, there's lots of tentacles to it, and there's lots of pieces to the puzzle, and they all have to fit together. And I'd love just to hear what's top of mind for you as you think about inclusion and diversity and the world of leadership and how they're connected.
Well, I think it's complicated. I'll start there.
Yeah.
and not one of those easy puzzles to solve. What I say about this, the inclusion and diversity work that I get to do, is without question the hardest job I have ever had, and also without question the most rewarding. So one of the questions that I've tackled is this intersection between we're trying to create inclusive environments where people feel they belong, but then we also spend a fair amount of time on educating about why we are different. So we spend time talking about what it means to be a woman, or what it means to be a person of color, or what it means to be a member of the LGBTQ+ community. And it's never, I've never thought that either one of those wasn't important. It's all important, but I've asked this question of how do those come together? And what I've come to believe is that the experience of creating a culture that is inclusive, that is celebrating diversity, that creates a sense of belonging where people can be their authentic selves, those are really human experiences. Regardless of who you are, where you come from, what your background is, you want to be in a place that you feel safe. You want to be in a place where you feel like, I want to go there. I want to go to work today. I like the people I work with. I feel like I'm respected. I feel like my voice will be heard there. And if we take it to personal perspectives, we all want to be loved, right? We all want to find those personal connections in our life and those people that we can lean on. So those are universal human experiences. I've learned to value what the other side of that equation is. How those come to life for us might be different based on our life experiences. So what that means to both of you, Erica and Audrey, as women, and certainly individually, but also collectively as women, it might be different than what it might mean for me as a man or as a member of the gay community or the LGBTQ+ community. So, you know, I think it is important that we understand each other so that we, and our differences and what makes us unique and what might be driving how we experience the world. So that way we can really deliver on that proposition of being trusted and respected and letting your voice be, allowing space for your voice to be heard. So that's an intersectionality that I've spent a lot of time thinking about, and how do leaders create that environment? What does that look like? What are the experiences that they need to have to be able to deliver on that proposition?
You know, it's like a lot of the work that we lead in HR. You know, we can be accountable and responsible for creating systems and processes and methodologies and approaches, but none of that really matters if the leadership in the organization don't lean into that, and if the leadership in the organization don't lead on that. it doesn't really matter. None of it really matters, right? Because we could have any number of philosophical approaches and drive any number of strategies. But if the leader doesn't believe it, then he's not going to enact it. Then we're not going to get the benefit of creating a safe place, creating a place where people can be themselves. That's the work of leaders. It's not just the work of HR. And I think that that's the intersection point. And we recently had a podcast with, Mark Rumbles from Red Hat. And our big conversation was the intersection point between leadership and culture. And, you know, it's this notion of, well, how are they different? If a leader sets the culture or if a leader is the culture, I believe that, you know, that we have this, the saying of the fish rots from the head. So it's really the CEO sets the culture. The CEO sets the tone and there is no question. There can be subcultures and there can be sub-leadership areas. But at the end of the day, it's really hard to push a wet noodle if the CEO believes something different to what other people are driving. And so that's where it starts to really meld for me around leadership and culture and values. And then we add on and the inclusion and diversity piece as well, right? And suddenly it is really complicated. Suddenly it's not black and white and there's many different intersection points. We find that with all of our work.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I'll share a couple of my personal experiences. One of them is about how I have, connected with people, through this work. So, you know, if you haven't seen me before, if you generally, when people see me, they see a, I'll paint a little bit of a picture. I'm 6'6". I weigh close to 300 pounds. Don't tell anyone. you know, I'm a big guy and I, you know, I don't endeavor to act masculine or feminine. I just act like me, but I would say that most people probably perceive me to be straight or heterosexual. And so what happens in this work in inclusion and diversity is that people, will perceive that a straight white guy, cisgendered white guy can't do this work. And now, by the way, I believe that anyone can do this work. Anyone can have a belief in diversity and inclusion. But I do get that that is a perception that people have. So, you know, part of my, leaning into that sort of authenticity and vulnerability for myself is saying, I have to share my story. And I choose to share my story and I share my story because one, it does help me. It helps me, you know, every time I share my story, I gain more confidence in myself and I know it's okay to be me, but it also allows me to open doors and hopefully build bridges to connect with others. And if that bridge wasn't built, then my ability to be a leader and to have those some of those vulnerable conversations would be hard or they wouldn't happen at all. You know, another thing that I often say there is in this as a leader is, I'm probably going to get it wrong at some point. I'm probably going to say something that someone doesn't like, or I'm going to make a decision that someone doesn't agree with. Like that's as someone who wants everyone to like them, that's really tough for me. But you know, what I've learned is as I'm leading others is I'll say like, I invariably, this is going to happen. We're going to have these moments. So just putting that out there and just taking that risk to say, it's going to happen. And you're going to come to me at some point and you're going to say, Brian, that didn't feel good. Or Brian, I don't like that. But what I believe is by opening that door and letting people I lead or work with know that that's okay. Like, let's have that conversation. If we can have that real conversation, we will have a much stronger relationship. We will build a greater connection of trust. So I think, you know, going back to this sort of bigger question of how do leaders engage in this sort of, you know, the leadership through vulnerability and through humanness. I think part of it is really just being human yourself and understanding what you bring to the table, and maybe what you don't bring to the table, and what you need from others, and allowing that to be very real. And those one-on-one connections over the course of time allow you to then lead groups of community, you know, communities of people, and to make a broader difference. But you have to start with like yourself and then one other person, and then it sort of builds from there.
Yeah, sage advice.
Well, I've learned through a lot of trial and error.
Yeah, and I think that there just is, I love what you, when you're talking about the assumptions people make by the way that you look, how easy is it for so many of us to do that is you don't always know somebody's story, and you don't know the things that they've walked through, and not everyone does wear their story on the outside for everyone to see. So I think I would be safe to say, I think that a lot of what has made you great in this role is your curiosity to get to know yourself, and your curiosity to get to know other groups of others, as you call them. So, you know, you know what, and you can advocate for what it feels like to be you is as white and homosexual in that community. But what about people of color? The way that you learn how to create those spaces for them is being curious and getting to know them and what feels good for them and having those conversations. And I think that that curiosity and that desire to learn is probably a huge piece of what makes you great in your role, in getting to know people.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, and actually, if I can just take a moment to share a short story. When I was working with the Pride Committee this year, that was working on building our Pride activations and celebrations and education, I would think that as a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I have a pretty good understanding of the community. By the way, I was wrong. And yes, I do have, you know, I've been a champion and an activist and an advocate for the community, and I've learned a lot, and I've learned, I've engaged in really great conversations with, you know, friends of mine that fit, you know, are part of that community. But the group this year, was, primarily not made up of gay white men. So there, you know, there was, members who are outside of the gender binary and people of color. And I don't think we had a member of the group who was lesbian, but we were saying like, we have this, we know we have individuals who identify as lesbian or part of this company. And so the challenges they gave to me were, Brian, the world around us has really, come a long way with honoring and respecting the gay white male community, but we have work to do on the rest of the community, which, you know, if we follow the news, you'll see some of those stories, particularly about the trans community and the trans people of color. But it was really this interesting moment of, they gave me that opportunity to continue to understand the world around me. Mm-hmm. And I had to be open to saying, okay, even though I'm the part of this community, there's always more I can learn and understand. And I'm so grateful for them for giving me another broadened perspective on the community that I'm part of.
Yeah. All right. Well, we like to wrap up with just one last thing. So if you had, I'm going to actually ask for two pieces of advice. One is, what is a piece of advice you can give to someone who does identify as an other? And what is a piece of advice that you can give to someone who maybe doesn't identify as an other, and how they can advocate and grow the space of diversity and inclusion?
Well, I think the first thing, and this probably goes for both people in either of those realities, is assume good intent. I'm a big believer that, we all come to whatever we're doing that day, whether it's to work or to dinner or to a theater outing, we all come there to have a good time or to add value or to experience it through a positive lens. But we don't understand what everyone else is going through. And so someone might get it wrong, but assume that they didn't mean anything by what happened, and then be open to asking the question and crossing that bridge. And whether it's sharing, hey, that didn't feel good, can we talk about that? Or if you're on the side of maybe someone who doesn't feel like another, but knows that there are people around you who do, ask the question and ask it with the genuine curiosity. I think, you know, speaking for myself, I'm happy to share my experiences as a gay man, as you probably gleaned from this call. If that, particularly if that's going to help someone else understand the world around them. So, you know, sort of that sort of genuine curiosity and assuming good intent, I think works across the board. But also really, as we've talked about, really having that, those moments of vulnerability where you can say, I'm going to be open to this, and it might be risky and it might feel uncomfortable, but it's going to be better once we get to the other side.
Audrey, any last pieces of sage advice?
The essence of our firm's brand is really about creating aha moments. We have a lot of products and we have a lot of work that we do, but the essence of our brand is to create aha moments. And, you know, the piece of advice that I would have for folks is, have you really spent time thinking about what your story is? And how do you tell your story? How do you tell it in a meaningful way that people can connect to? Because telling your own story is really hard and it can be really tough. And a lot of the work that we do with leaders is around helping them reflect their story in their leadership. And so invest some time, do some deep reflection, get a piece of paper out, start scratching your life map and your story, and what are the moments that really matter, and how do you tell that story?
I love that. Well, guys, this has been a fantastic conversation and just really eye-opening for me. And as we continue to have these, I always love to just kind of be a fly on the wall. It's always a great time. So I love getting to host these. And Brian, thank you so much for joining us. It was really great. And thank you to our listeners for joining us again. Look for a new episode next month. And until then, I'm Erica, and thank you for listening.